Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see the church so well filled this morning. I didn't know how many people would be here. I thought there could be quite a few people away or people recovering after Christmas. Did you all have a very good time over Christmas?
Yes.
You did, good. And kids, you all had lots of nice presents, I hear. Did you get the presents that you really wanted? Maybe not, huh? Okay. Well, I was reading about a little girl, and quite early on in the year, her father said to her, "What would you like for Christmas?" And she said, "I'd like a baby brother." Well, to the surprise of everyone, on Christmas Eve, Mum arrived back from the hospital with a little baby boy. So the next year, when Dad said to the little girl, "What would you like for Christmas this year?" she said, "Well, if it wouldn't be too painful for Mummy, I'd love a pony." There we are. Now, we were hearing just now about writing thank you letters, or sending maybe thank you emails maybe these days. And I was hearing another story about a little girl, and Mummy was trying to encourage her to write a thank you letter, and was having great difficulty. But in the end, she said, "You must do it." So the little girl wrote her note, and she said, "Thank you for a nice Christmas present. I always wanted handkerchiefs, but not very much." So you're going to be honest when you write your thank you letters or what? Well, I think for Mum and Dad, we've been hearing often, it's an expensive time of the year. I love that song, "Dreaming of a White Christmas." I suppose I'm just a sentimental old guy, but every time I hear it, it does something for me. But somebody said, the trouble is, we might dream of a white Christmas, but when January comes and all the bills come through the letterbox, all we see is red. So just a salutary thought. Well, I've lived for 35 years in Scotland, and in Scotland, they not only make a big time of Christmas, but also New Year is very special, and Hogmanay celebrations and so on. It's a time of great celebration, sometimes often of excess, optimism, resolutions, hopes for the new year, hoping that things will be different. But you know, it only takes a few days of the new year for us to realize that actually nothing very much has changed. After the hangovers have gone and the euphoria has disappeared, we very soon realize that the new year is much the same as the old one. Same challenges confront us, the same difficulties engulf us. We've been thinking about Christmas again this morning, and I think so often when we look back at that first Christmas, we do so through rosy-tinted glasses. You know, we have this sort of sanitized view of what actually happened that first Christmas, and it was somehow all sweetness and light and peace and goodwill. Whereas I think actually, as I've been reflecting again this Christmas, that first Christmas was really a microcosm of the world in which you and I live today. You know, we think of Sandy Hook, all those little children losing their lives. But then we think of what happened at Bethlehem that first Christmas and the slaughter of all those innocent children. We think about a despotic ruler like Bashar al-Assad. But then when we think back to that first Christmas, we think of Herod. We think of refugees in different parts of the world. And then we remember that the baby Jesus and his family had to seek refuge down in Egypt. We think of homelessness on our streets. And then we think of the beggar Lazarus. We think of Western nations trying to impose their idea of government on sovereign states. And then we remember that when the Lord Jesus was born, that Palestine was ruled by the Romans. We think of a world where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. If you know anything about the Greco-Roman world of the time of the Lord, it was exactly the same then. We think of oppression of poor, and we think of slavery in its different forms even today. And we're reminded that the wealth of the Roman Empire was largely built on slavery that they acquired through conquest. And so we could go on making comparisons between our day and the day that the Lord Jesus was born. So when we think of that first Christmas, and we examine the narratives in the Gospels more closely, we find that the central characters in the Christmas story, some of them we've been thinking about already this morning, were actually filled with fear and trepidation. Three times over in the Christmas story, we read that an angel appeared to an individual and told them, "Don't be afraid." Well, if like me, you grew up with good old King James, fear not, three times over, fear not, fear not, fear not. Mary was told not to be afraid. Joseph was told not to fear. And the shepherds out in the field were terrified. And so I would like just to think for a few minutes about the challenges that these people faced. And hopefully that they will help us this morning as individuals and as a church, as we look forward to a new year and come to the end of 2012, maybe we can draw comfort and reassurance from the way that these people coped with their fears. Now, I'm not going to ask you to turn up the reading. As we go along, I will read to you the very familiar verses that we've been thinking about so much already over this Christmas time. I'm thinking, first of all, of Mary. And, of course, in Luke chapter 1 is where we read that the angel appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to have this baby. And the angel said, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And when I think of Mary, I think I will call the fear, the apprehension that she felt at that moment was perhaps fear or apprehension of change or of the unexpected. Mary was just a simple, humble peasant girl. I'm sure she was a God-fearing girl. I'm sure she was very devoted. I can't believe that God would choose any old girl to be the vessel through whom his son will come. I'm sure she was a very special girl. She was engaged to be married. So her mind will be filled with dreams and expectations of how life was going to work out for her, how she would marry and have a family and so on. And then suddenly this angel appears to her and tells her that God was going to fulfill her prayers and her dreams, but in a totally unexpected way. A way which was going to be challenging, it was going to be demanding, it was going to be painful. In a society where illegitimacy was still a social stigma, she was going to have to cope with all of that, facing the trauma of a child born out of wedlock. And she clearly understood that this was what was involved. And yet for her, the reassurance was that God was in control. I'm amazed that unlike Zechariah, who when the angel appeared to him, told him that he and his wife are going to have a baby in their old age, he just was totally unbelieving. Mary was believing, but she didn't understand exactly how it was going to come about. I think those of us that are a little bit older here this morning, maybe as we look back over the years, we too can identify times in our life where there were intrusions, as it were, of the unexpected. Times when events took a surprising turn. When we were caused maybe to go down a path that we wouldn't have chosen for ourselves. And yet maybe now, with the benefit of hindsight, as we look back, we can see, in the words of Romans, that God does work for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purposes. And so it's so reassuring to us again, is it not, as we stand at the threshold of a new year, to know that our hands, our lives are in the hands of the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the perfecter and finisher of faith, the one who's too wise to make mistakes, and too loving to be unkind. And I don't know whether you were here at the earlier service, but I didn't know what Peter was going to say in his introduction at the communion service. But he talked about change. And how sometimes we don't like change. We settle into our comfort zone. And I want to ask us this morning as individuals and as a church at Hebron, how open are we as we face a new year to God answering our hopes and prayers, but maybe in a different way to what we might have expected? Are we prepared for God to stretch us, to take us out of our comfort zones, to maybe challenge our preconceived ideas? Maybe that will make demands of us, but will ultimately be for our personal blessing, for the blessing of the church, for the blessing of our wider community in Carlisle, and as the tentacles from our church through our missionaries spread out across the world for the blessing of the whole globe. I wonder how we will cope in 2013 with the unexpected and change. And then secondly, let's think for a few minutes about Joseph. In Matthew 1 verse 20, we read that the angel appeared to Joseph and said to him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And I would think of this as a fear of a shattered world, the fear of shattered dreams. Let's try and put ourselves in the position of Joseph. Probably an older man. For whatever reason, up until this point, the possibility of being married has passed him by, but now at last, he's engaged. He has this lovely girl that he's hoping to marry, and they're planning for the future. All the wedding plans are underway, there are thoughts, and now suddenly he's told she's pregnant. He can hardly believe it, that this lovely girl, this girl who seems so devoted to the Lord, is expecting somebody else's baby. And yet coming up with some fanciful explanation of an angel appearing and an immaculate conception and so on, and he's faced with a quandary. He could go down the route of the law, in which case she would be ostracized at best. If the law was carried through to fulfillment, she could even be stoned. Or would he just deal with it quietly? Either way, his dream was shattered. All that he had hoped for just seemed to be crumbling around him. And then suddenly in that situation, the angel comes to him and says to him, "Joseph, what is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. This is all in the plan of God. What she has been telling you is absolutely true." I wonder how many of us this morning feel a bit like Joseph for whatever reason. Maybe 2012 now, as you look back, was not the year you hoped it would be this time 12 months ago. Maybe illness, bereavement, uncertainty in the workplace, or even maybe unemployment. Family problems, relationship difficulties, challenges in church life, worried about the world in which we're bringing up our children. For some of us, if we're honest right now, life is tough. And maybe right now, as you look at a new year, you don't see that 2013 is necessarily going to be any different. Well, Joseph was to learn that what he feared would be devastating loss would actually result in him gaining far more than he could ever have imagined. Imagine he was had the privilege of being the foster father to the Messiah, to be entrusted with the parenthood of the Son of God. What an incredible honor. Now, I don't want to be patronizing this morning. And I'm not coming up with any easy platitudes for people right now whose world, like Joseph's, maybe is shattering around you. I don't always understand how the sovereign God works out his purposes. And I do have to accept sometimes that there are mysteries in this life that I won't know all the answers to until I get to the other side. But as some of us, and again, maybe those of us that are a wee bit older, as we've experienced, as we look back over our lives, we can think of times when our world did crumble around us for whatever reason, when we had to face tough circumstances. And yet, as we look back now, we can see how even through those circumstances, God was working. God was using those experiences, difficult though they were, maybe for blessing to others, certainly moulding our own lives and so on. If you're like Joseph this morning, can you go into a new year and dare trustingly, if I can put it that way, to ask God to work out that situation in which you are going through right now, to deal with that situation in a way that will bring glory to him, be for the benefit of others and for your ultimate blessing as well? Although maybe right now, like Joseph, before that angel appeared to him, you can't see how it's going to work out. Then thirdly, I want us to think of the shepherds. We think about them in Luke chapter 2. These shepherds were just ordinary men. In fact, they were quite despised people. They were particularly looked down on by religious people of the day because of the way they had to conduct their jobs with the animals and so on. It meant that very often they were ceremonially unclean according to the law, and therefore they weren't able to enter into the worship of the temple or the synagogue in the way that other people were able to. So they were looked down on, just lowly, despised men. And there they were out on this Judean hill that night in the darkness. And it will be the sort of darkness that we don't often experience when we live in towns and cities, but out there on the hills with no other light around them, a darkness that could almost be felt, and then suddenly that darkness is split by this glorious appearing of this angelic group. What sort of fear did these people have as they were there on the hillside? We're told there in Luke 2 that they were terrified. Well, I suggest to you we could say it is the fear of meeting God. I think somehow, speak for myself anyway, we've lost something of the awesomeness of who our God is. Yes, God is our loving Heavenly Father. He's our friend. He's our lover. But he's also the majestic, holy, sovereign Creator God. And I notice in Bible times that even men that walk very closely with God, think of Abraham, who was called the friend of God, sometimes they were struck with holy terror in the presence of God and fell on their faces. Think of Abraham, think of Isaiah, think of Peter, think of John on the island of Patmos. Men that knew the Lord intimately and yet were overcome by reverential awe. I think sometimes we've lost that in the age in which we live. But no wonder these shepherds were scared out of their wits. There they were on that hillside, and the presence, the glory of God surrounded them. But the angel brought to them a reassuring message. And he said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord. So what a wonderfully reassuring message this was for these shepherds. They're terrified with a sense of their own unworthiness, that they were in the presence of a holy God, and yet to know that there had been a provision made for them to be accepted by that God. And I want to ask you today, are you afraid of meeting God? If today was the day that you had to stand before God, would you be afraid? It's easy sometimes, isn't it, to blend in with the church in a large company like this, to have all the trappings of religion, if I can put it that way, to give every outward impression of being a committed Christian. And yet, perhaps if we're honest, it's a bit of a sham. Or maybe right now, as Christians, as disciples, our walk with the Lord is not all that it should be. Maybe we've been freewheeling for a time. Some of us here this morning might be regular churchgoers, and yet not really having a living relationship with the Saviour of the world at all. And if you think seriously right this moment, if God right now was to take me into his presence, could I go, yes, with reverential awe, but secure in the fact that I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Saviour and that he has died for me? Or would I be fearful of going to stand before God? See, this is the heart, isn't it, of the Christian message. And it was great that our puppets and puppeteers link Christmas with Easter, because that is what it's all about. The babe that was born at Bethlehem was the Saviour that would die on the cross. And if this morning we really do know Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, then although in one sense, yes, there is that natural, awesome, reverential fear of standing before a holy God, we know that we stand there not as we are, sinners, failures. We stand there as people that have been saved, that have been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and were accepted because of what he has done, not because of anything that we are. And this is the wonder of the Christmas message, the real reason for the season. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if somebody here in this church, for the first time, in absolute sincerity and repentance of heart and mind, would confess their need of a Saviour and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord? To be able to go into the new year with all that it might hold, known and unknown at this point, but knowing that the past is forgiven, to know the peace of God which passes all understanding, to know what it will be to walk in reality with the living God. And maybe others of us, in fact, probably all of us, who are Christians this morning. Now's a good time. I'm not a great believer in resolutions and so on, but now's a good time to reflect. How am I in my walk with the Lord? Am I walking closely with him? There is a sense, of course, in which we could all walk more closely than we do with the Lord. But are there things that have intruded into our life that have taken the edge off our Christian lives? Have we allowed sin in some way to come into our lives and it's unconfessed at this point in time? What a better time, what better time than now, as we stand on the threshold of a new year, to be able to just get things put right, just to once again seek the Lord and his forgiveness and strength and step out afresh, hand in hand with him. My message is over. I don't know which, if any, or all of these apply to you, to me. We just take a few moments of reflection, of quiet. Ask the Lord in what way you should respond to his word today. And then the band will come over and bring our service to a conclusion. Just a few moments of quiet, please.